Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I don't know if this opinion is sacrilegious, and I'm not having this opinion to troll. I'm not having this opinion to be on anybody's bad side. That's not how I feel. This take comes from a legitimate, genuine place, I promise you. No April Fools. I think the Royals wear the powder blue uniforms too much. Now, let me explain. I love the powder blues. I imagine you love the powder blues. You can't love the Royals. You can't love Kansas City if you don't love the Royals and the powder blue unis. But they're wearing them on the road against the Brewers? No. That's not what the powder blues are supposed to be. The powder blues are like when you got a crisp pair of white Air Force Ones. You can't wear the white Air Force Ones every day. They'll get dirty, and then they'll lose the aura behind them. The Riz, as the kids would say. No. You got to pull out the white Air Forces for that special occasion. That's what the powder blue uniform should be. Opening day, yes, you wear those powder blue uniforms. The Royals get on Sunday Night Baseball. Yeah, you pull out your powder blue uniforms. It should be a special thing. It should be a, oh, snap, the Royals are wearing the powder blues. They can't just be a everyday game. You have a day game 2-3 times a week. No. Wear your regular blue uniforms. Wear your regular white unis, and you pull out that powder blue when it's something special. I don't want the Chiefs to wear the red on red all the time. No, you got to pull out that red on red for a big occasion. This year, the Eagles are coming to town, right? Super Bowl rematch. That's when you pull out the all red unis for that 325, for that Sunday night, for that Monday night football game. That's when you pull out the throwbacks. That's when you pull out the special uniforms. I think the Royals wear the powder blues too much. They wear it for every day game. Doesn't matter if it's home or road. No, they should never wear the powder blue unis on the road. They should only be for us at home. Make them kind of like how the Lakers do with those white uniforms. We only wear them Sunday. Those are your Sunday best uniforms. You only wear them on Sunday. That's how the powder blue unis should be.
So you're way off base here, and here's why. Because the Royals should wear this as much as possible, because we should be honest about the Royals' hierarchy of jerseys. Number one, I still think is that home white. That home white's a great
look. I like those uniforms.
Home white's incredible. Two is the powder blue jersey. Three is the blue top. Punched in the face is number four. The gray top is the worst thing they have. That gray top jersey is trash. And the less they wear that, the better. You know how in the NCAA tournament, Adidas and Nike every year come out with like special, hey, march to the Final Four jerseys?
Those highlight unis.
Never wear those. Wear the ones you like. So you know what? If it means less gray in my life, Sign me up for more Powder Blue. I don't care about the team. I don't care about the time. Don't wear bad jerseys. Wear good jerseys. And the Powder Blue, with that hat specifically, fire. Wear it all the time.
You know what? I'd be perfectly fine with them branching out and wearing more unis. I like their City Connect uniforms. I like the City Connect unis. I'd be perfectly fine if for one homestand they went back and they turned the clock back like it was 2005 and they were wearing the old Jason Grimsley uniforms. You know the ones that I'm talking about. I'm talking about wearing the Ken Harvey throwbacks. I'd be perfectly fine if they wear those, but the Powder Blues are special. It's like the Mizzou unis with the Block M or KU with the circus font. No, you got to pull those out for the right game. You got to pull those out for the right uniforms.
I will say, KU went circus font full time last year.
Yeah, and look what happened.
I don't think the circus font led to the failures. The circus font wasn't having Hunter Dickinson not defend for 40 minutes. Doesn't Mizzou go Block M full time now in basketball?
I actually don't want them to do that. You know what I want them to go Block M? I want them to do that when KU comes into town. I want them to do that when Kentucky comes into town. I want them to do it once, twice a year. I want it to be exciting. I don't want it to be every game uniform. No. Special. Pull it out during a special moment, a special occasion. That's how I would handle it. That's what I think they should do.
Text line is saying that Ryan yesterday on the broadcast said that they're the full road game jersey this year. Still see the Powder Blue 81 times.
Yeah, they're wearing it today against the Brewers.
Yeah. Because it's a special occasion when you beat down on a bad team.
Yeah, they're wearing them today against the Brewers. Shout out to the Brewers. The Brewers are absolutely.
When you're facing the New York Giants of baseball, you gotta look tight.
No, you gotta have your pearly whites on when you're wearing the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's keep talking a little bit of baseball. Here's Jeff Passan talking about the Torpedo Bats. This has become the top story in baseball.
And I heard from pitchers and they said, I don't like this. And it's interesting because for so long, Brian, the game has been tilting more toward the pitching side, especially when it comes to the use of technology. You can put a pitcher in a lab now and he can design a new pitch over a weekend and implement it in games, whether it's a changeup, a slider, whatever it is. They figured out on the pitching side how to iterate and how to maximize themselves. And hitters have been searching for a similar thing for a long time now. And this may just be a first step. This isn't going to be adopted by everyone in the game, but it illustrates that technology can help hitters as well.
That was Jeff Passan earlier today. He was on the Get Up. I think what he said there at the end is the most important thing of it, is that the technology of all of this can now help the offensive players. The technology of it can help offense. I'm all in favor of that. I'm all in favor of the game evolving. All sports evolve. And if you were telling me that this bat, it's new, a handful of teams are using it, a handful of players are using it, and we are trying to figure out what this means for the sport, great. And now it's the cat and mouse game. It's can pitchers stay ahead of the hitters and vice versa. I'm perfectly fine with it. In fact, I'm happy that we're talking about baseball in the early part of the season and what's happening on the field. I'm happy that so many people care about this story. Now, I think some of it is the fact that the Yankees were the ones that had the most success with it, and that's a team that obviously drives conversation and drives discussion, but who cares? The fact that we are having this and people are interested in the bats that they are using, this is a good story. This is a good baseball story. Yes, give me more of this. I am excited to see it today. I am excited to see how all of this works. I'm really, really excited to see this. What happens with the torpedo bats? That was Jeff Passan. That audio was courtesy of ESPN's Get Up. So, really quickly, before we take a break here, we're actually going to head to Lawrence, Kansas here coming up in a bit, learn a little bit more about their recruiting. Is they have had a handful of guys that have gone on and hit the transfer portal. Let's talk about the top story, one of the top stories in the National Football League. It comes courtesy of Netflix. So Netflix, you guys know, they have made the deal for Christmas Day games. So there are going to be two Christmas Day games on Netflix. And this year, Christmas is on a Thursday. So Amazon, they want their Christmas Day game as well. So there are going to be three games on Christmas coming up this upcoming season. There's going to be a game in it's basically going to be like Thanksgiving. That's probably the best way to explain it. The Thanksgiving schedule that we have is going to be the Christmas Day schedule as well, where we have three games. Rob and I were going back and forth about this before the show, and I know the stance that I've taken on streaming, and ultimately, I think they are using the streamers to figure out more and more ways to dip into our pocket. I don't have a problem with them using Netflix, though. Netflix, to me, is different than putting a game exclusively on Peacock. Some of us have been having Netflix on streaming for a decade now. It's by far and away the most popular streamer. A majority of people either have Netflix or have direct access to Netflix. I don't think that's the same as putting your games on Peacock or Paramount Plus. I think that's different. To me, you have then created a streaming service that now you are not getting a lot of traction, and now you want me to exclusively sign up for it. I think that's different than what's happening with Netflix. Maybe I'm parsing it just a little bit, and I can live with the perceived hypocrisy about this, but most of us got Netflix. So I don't have any problem with the NFL doing this deal with Netflix. Last year, I don't think it was that big of an issue. It worked. It ain't like how it was for that Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight where that thing was running on. That was some net zero Juno internet. That was an embarrassment. That's not what happened last Christmas. If Netflix is going to keep pumping the money the way that they did for last year, where they had Mariah Carey singing and Beyonce had a halftime show and they got Shaboozy and Post Malone, hey, I'm cool with whatever they got going on. A majority of us already have Netflix, and based on Amazon Prime, a lot of people have access to Amazon Prime. I don't have much of a problem with the NFL doing this. Last year, I think it was different because they were asking players to play on a day they usually don't play. Having them play on a Thursday is not abnormal at this point. The players are used and accustomed to playing on a Thursday. I don't have that much of an issue with them basically taking the Thanksgiving model that we already have that works for everybody, and then them now using this on another Thursday and using this for Christmas. I'm actually on their side with this one.
The Thursday part, actually, I agree with you. That doesn't bother me. They're not putting games on a Wednesday. We're not having to put a game on Saturday, but the Thursday part's fine. But Carrington, I was here when you went on your rant about Peacock. We're now going to have a full day of holiday games unavailable on over-the-air television. I'm here every day when the text line tells me that that's why the NFL is king. They put all their stuff on over-the-air television. None of their games on Christmas will be available unless it's one of your local teams. And it's different than Thanksgiving.
Let's be fair,
Thanksgiving,
though.
Thanksgiving, CBS, Fox, and NBC.
I'm with you, though.
Netflix Prime.
I'm with you, though, but let's be fair, and I will defend the NFL here. I bet you more people have Netflix than have ESPN at this point. If we are going off the amount of people that have cable and the amount of people that have access to Netflix, I bet you Netflix has more people at this point. So you already put games behind a paywall that are not available on regular over-the-air television. The Super Bowl's about to be on ESPN coming up in 2 years. I just looked it up because I was curious. Netflix has around 67 million subscribers just in the United States. So, and I don't even know how they're factoring that in, because I would assume, like me, I am a Netflix subscriber. My mom isn't, but my mom uses my account. So we end up like, I don't know how that counts in terms of it. A majority of people have access to Netflix. Like, I would say a majority of people have access to ESPN. Like, we don't complain when they put the national championship game in college football on ESPN. At this point, it's just part of what we signed up for. I think that's a lot different than signing up for Peacock.
I feel like it's far. I think you're rationalizing because everyone, you feel like Peacock is one, not Peacock, excuse me, Netflix one we all have, but they are putting and you know the NFL, there's going to be good games on Christmas.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
This isn't going to be your Cardinals and Giants Thursday night game. This is going to be big games, and they are hiding them behind two paywalls, two different streaming services. So if you want to watch these games, and we don't know if it's going to be the Chiefs or not, I would bet the Chiefs are one of them, but we don't know for sure.
I would just guess. I'm spitballing here. I would be surprised if the NFL did not put the Chiefs on Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Or Black Friday.
I'm saying those are just two and three massive days for the league. You are not putting one of your marquee teams. They're going to be in one of those windows. One of those windows, the Chiefs are going to be a part of it. So I'm with you.
I'm just saying if the Chiefs aren't and you are an NFL fan, you're going to have to fire up Netflix and then get out of Netflix, close that app, and fire up Amazon Prime to watch NFL games on Christmas Day with the family. It just, It feels like I sit here and have people tell me on the text line, oh, over the air is why the NFL's king, and why don't more people go over the air? The NFL's doing less and less over the air on a premium day for their product, and it seems like people are, oh, well, we just rationalize when the NFL does it, but when if the NBA was doing this, if this news story came across 5 years ago that ESPN Plus and Disney Plus would have their games, people would be in an uproar. But the NFL does it, and we celebrate.
Well, I just would like to point out that next year's Eastern Conference Finals of the NBA will be on Amazon Prime. Like, I'm with you in some of the regards. I just, maybe at this point, they have just beaten me up so much about this. At this point, it is either a get with it or get lost. All of the sports leagues that we follow have told us they believe this is the future. They believe that they have a hybrid model. They believe that over the air is really important. They believe that CBS is important, that Fox is important. They also believe that Netflix and Hulu are also important. And at this point, you either sign up for it or don't. But the money has been paid in this. I mean, the amount of money that Netflix paid $30 million for one NFL game. The NFL is not turning that money down. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll head out to Lawrence, Kansas to find out a little bit more about KU and the transfer portal. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This is very, very interesting. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Michael Swain, who covers the Kansas Jayhawks. We're going to get his thoughts on what's happening with KU. From Tom Pelissero. According to Tom Pelissero, Roger Goodell is addressing the media. Roger Goodell said that NFL players have reached out to him directly with an interest of playing flag football in the 2028 Olympics, and that he expects to have a resolution to this in the next 60 days. The NFL is also getting bids on a pro flag league, expects progress soon. Let's talk about the Olympics part of it. I'm actually really surprised that the NFL would let the players do this. The Olympics is in August. They're getting ready for the season in August. I'm really surprised that the NFL would let Justin Jefferson in August stop playing for the Vikings to go play flag football against a random country. Now, on one side of it, maybe I shouldn't be that surprised because the NFL has clearly shown you an international mission, and I can't really think of anything more international than the Olympics. So maybe this is, hey, this is our opportunity to put football on the absolute biggest stage. It's in our country. We're going to send players to go play flag football. Who are the other countries that you think could even qualify for this thing? Who else could be good in this thing? I mean, we can go through the teams or the players for the United States. I mean, I don't even think it matters who they would send over there for the United States team because their team would just be so overwhelmingly the favorite. What other countries could compete with the United States in flag football? There's enough players from around the world to make this thing a real, true competition. So I'm just surprised that the NFL would allow its players to participate in this when it's not going to be competitive and just the injury risk associated with it. Can you imagine the conversation if a star defensive back hurt himself playing flag football in the Olympics against Egypt, and now your NFL season is ruined because he just twisted his knee and is out for the first 6 weeks because he was playing both way. I'm actually really surprised the NFL is even considering this and thinking about allowing the players to participate in the Olympics. Where do you stand on this, Rob?
I mean, so I don't get it from the NFL perspective. As a fan and as the Olympics, it makes total sense. Why would we have, remember that story last year where the flag football player for Team USA said he was better than Patrick Mahomes? Remember that? We talked about that for a little bit, and everyone's found his, you know, throwing motion, and that's just nonsense to think that he's better than Patrick Mahomes. So, like, from the Olympics and NBC and, like, as a fan perspective, yeah, I want to see Patrick Mahomes throwing darts to Justin Jefferson on flag football. That sounds incredible, but if I'm Clark Hunt, if I'm Ziggy Wolf, I believe he owns the Vikings,
yeah,
if I'm Jerry Jones, I don't want my players out there because if something horrible happens, then my season is over. But, I mean, the NBA has their players out there. The NBA had their players out there all across the sport. Like LeBron, Steph Curry, Jokic. Like, in the finals, you had Wembanyama. And they're, what, 2 months away from their season? I get there sometime. But if Wemby got hurt in that game, he's probably missing portions of the season. So, as a fan, sign me up. I think the NFL should stop being so cautious and go let him do it.
Yeah, but I think the big difference is, and maybe this just takes time to do it, is there's not many other countries that play football other than we do.
To be fair, can I say the same thing about the 92 Dream Team?
Yeah, but I would argue, though, that basketball internationally has always been a thing. They just weren't up to the level of competition, and eventually they caught up. What other countries play football? Now, maybe the hope is, all right, hey, in 2025, we are going to run past you guys. And then in 20 years, the same way that you're making the point, though, the same way that, you know, you said, hey, this is what happened with the Dream Team. You're hoping, though. Are you really growing it in that way through flag football, though? Like, what is the goal of the NFL by allowing their players to compete? Is it just simply exposure? Because that's what it seems to me. This does not seem about competition, at least not for the NFL. It could be that if you're just not going to let NFL players play, hey, if we're going to have the best American flag football players, hey, if you have any NFL experience, you cannot compete in this game. Yeah, that would make sense to me. But I just, other than we want to put our product in front of more people and we want Mahomes to go to the Olympics and be interviewed and do all of these things, and we think that's a way to grow the game, I just don't really see how this benefits the NFL from a play standpoint really at all to allow its stars to compete in flag football in the Olympics. That ain't real football.
Let me ask you this. How is this isn't this just an extension or a bigger stage what the NFL's been doing with their international series? Like, they have made it clear in whatever way they want their product in front of international eyeballs. Now, flag football is not real football. I get that, but if you want the whole world to watch Patrick Mahomes and the best of the best, this is the window. This is the best time to do it. It's not by putting Jags and Panthers in Germany. That's not the best way to showcase your product. The best way is to have Patrick Mahomes dropping dimes to Sam Laporta and to have, you know, Patrick Surtain playing both ways. That it seems like marketing brilliance by the league, because they are clearly trying to gather an international market. This would help do that.
Yeah, but I guess here, and someone just texted in, we can call Michael Swain here. Someone said this is a classic NFL thing to do because they're obsessed with taking over every other sport and event that they can. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about this thing. Like, we don't know that the United States is better at football than everybody else. I mean, that's all we're going to get the information on. That's all we're going to find out. Hey, America's really good at this thing. I'm sorry. I don't care what your flag football program looks like. And I'm sure there's other countries that, hey, we actually, flag football is a thing we do here. I don't care how much flag football they're playing in China. They about to get smoked. They about to get smoked in this game. This game will not be competitive. It will not be close. It will not be good. So if you guys missed it, Roger Goodell says that in the next 60 days, they are going to make a decision on if they will allow the players to compete in next year, or I guess in a couple years, Olympics. The Olympics are adding flag football. Some NFL players want to play, and I'm sure actually a lot of them actually probably want to play in it. And Goodell and the owners will make a decision on if they will allow them or not. This also came out. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell acknowledges there is little data but a clear potential risk with the tush push, and suggested that reverting to the old rule prohibiting pulling and pushing ball carriers would make sense. That's what I think the argument is going to be. If they eventually get rid of the tush push, that's why I think they're going to get rid of it. You can't push the ball carrier anymore. Okay, well, that's fine then. I want that same energy whenever it is a scrum when a running back is trying to get 2 yards, and we all see it before, everybody pushes to make sure that he gets that 1 yard, and that running back is allowed to keep forward progress and pick up an extra 3-4 yards. I want that same energy, and I want you guys to throw a flag. You can't do that anymore. If that's what we're saying is you can't push or pull ball carriers, all right, cool then. I think you guys need to radically change forward progress then, if that's the case. Because forward progress, the majority of time, ends up being the offensive team starts pushing forward or vice versa, and it ends up just being a problem. A lot of this just feels like sour grapes to me. They won the Super Bowl with the play that they run better than everybody else. Other teams tried to run the play. They're not as good at it. So now teams got to figure out a way. Well, since we can't stop it on the field, we now got to stop it in the court, so to speak. This has got big lawsuit energy is what it got. We couldn't beat you, so now we're going to sue you. I'm not with it. I don't love the tush push. I don't hate the tush push. It is a quarterback sneak. Figure out a way to stop it. I mean, Buffalo ran it 5 times in the AFC Championship game. It got stopped 3 times. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Michael Swain. Michael Swain covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, you know what? I'm actually hopeful that we have you on the show again in the next couple of weeks, because that would mean something good is happening for KU in the transfer portal, because right now only bad things are happening for them in the transfer portal.
Yeah. Well, what's the old saying, right? The transfer portal giveth, the transfer portal taketh away. Yeah, it's been an interesting start for KU, hasn't it? You know, I don't know how much you could say really is super negative. I think so far, really, the biggest negative is, you know, Floyd Badunga going in the portal. Guys like, you know, Diggy Coit, Ryland Griffin, yeah, Zach Clements, not that much of a surprise. I'd be surprised if, like, A.J. Store doesn't end up in the portal eventually, too. Hey, gosh, that's just the nature of college basketball, man. You can look across the sport right now. A lot of colleges are looking to build brand new teams, right? You know, John Calipari had the funny quote last year, right? I met with the team. There is no team. Well, I feel like there's a lot of college basketball teams, KU included, that can definitely relate with that that quote right now.
How many of these players, maybe we can go individually if you would like, how many of these guys are being pushed out? How many of these guys are choosing to leave? Because one, I think, common misconception about the transfer portal is some of these guys are not making the decision. Some of these guys probably want to stay at their schools, and the coaches are saying, hey, we don't have a spot for you. We are now going to recruit over you. How much of that do you think is happening at KU versus some guys are looking for more opportunities, more NIL, whatever reason they have for transferring? What's the ratio in your mind?
Yeah, so we can run through it really quickly. You know, you look at Zach Clements, missed this year. He's going to get a medical red shirt. He wants to go play, and he's not going to play at Kansas. So he's going to go move on. He's going to go get play his senior year somewhere. He'll get the medical red shirt. He'll be able to go in and really contribute somewhere. Diggy Coit wanted probably a little bit more than KU was willing in terms of money to come back, and I think wanted some certain potential maybe guarantees of role and minutes, and that just I don't think was really something that KU was going to be super interested in, considering the fact that you got Darren Peterson coming in and you're going to try and build this roster around him. Ryland Griffin, look, things didn't work, and I think Ryland would tell you that. I think people close to Ryland would tell you that. I think people close to KU would tell you that. I don't think there's any hard feelings about that. That just didn't work, and Ryland's going to go try and find somewhere else where hopefully for him it does work. Rakees Passmore, I think, is one of the more – I wouldn't say surprising ones because it's not super surprising, but more this is the type of player that I think 5 years ago would spend 4 years at Kansas, and by the end of it would be an All-Big 12 player. But with the way this is going this year, KU is trying to go and win a national title next year with Darren Peterson. So they're going to go all out in the transfer portal and add as many high-quality players as they can. As a result, that means Rakees was probably looking at like an eighth, maybe ninth, maybe 10th man, basically back of the rotation spot, which is where he was this year. And he knows that all of a sudden when it comes to crunch time, Bill Self is going to play 8 guys, maybe 7. So that's a risk if he stayed at KU that he may not play. And all of a sudden then he's looking at 2 years left and he hasn't played basketball very much in the last 2 years of college. So you can look up and down. And I really think the one big one that kind of was a bit of a surprise for KU was Floyd Badunga. And this is one that's probably pretty nuanced. He's going to go get paid somewhere. And if I did bet, I bet he's going to go get paid at Auburn. And this is something that I think Auburn had been working with people close to him for a while. And look, that's the nature of the game, right? When Ryland Griffin went in the portal last year, it was pretty clear pretty quickly that KU had a good idea. He was going in and that he was going to end up at KU. This is the nature of the beast right now. Agents are working behind the scenes. They're working around the clock to find spots for their guys. And if there's out there, they're going to go take it. And so I think someone like Flory is going to have that opportunity. And I think with the way the season went, where he played well and was starting and then was taken out, that would frustrate any player. And I think that may be something that maybe frustrated him a little bit and maybe got him to be open to a move. And then those are the ones right now. And look, again, I think AJ Storr will be on his sixth or seventh team in as many years next year. You know, he's not been someone that sticks around for 2 years, and I'm not sure that's going to happen at KU as well. So overall, you look at it, some surprise and some like Flory, but outside of that, I really can't say a lot of this has been super jaw-dropping or anything really super surprising.
I'm really surprised about Flory, and right now we're talking to Michael Swain, because I think most KU fans have said this, and I'm sure you've heard this, is Bill does really well with guys that say 3-4 years and buy into the system. I mean, that's what Flory is. When you get a big that's a former McDonald's All-American who clearly was not a one-and-done player, you're hoping that you can keep him until he's a junior, and then that's a guy that turns out to be a first-team All-Big 12 guy and a guy that turns into an NBA player. Like, this is the kind of Jayhawk that they used to keep for 3-4 years and would go on to great success. And now after 1 year, he's not going to go do that with down in the SEC with Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, and you're right. And so what's maybe, I think some KU fans may be frustrated is the fact that I think the messaging from Flory himself and people close to him when he showed up to KU was, hey, we know this is not going to be a you show up, you play 30 minutes a game and you go. It was very much he's going to show up, going to develop under, you know, Hunter for a year and play. And guys, he played the most minutes any freshman center has played since Cliff Alexander, right? He played more than I think people thought going into the year. And I think that for him, just I think the way that things went this year, and I don't think it was necessarily a super rosy locker room environment as well as the season progressed. And I think that can rub off on people and maybe make you think, do I really want to be here? And I think that's a part of what happened in addition to the opportunity to make a substantial sum of money. So you're right. He is the type of player, I think Rakese Passmore are the types of players that in the previous era or maybe most recent era before this one, right? They're the type of guys that you could see, you know, going to KU having a lot of success, right? I think in an ideal world, Flory would return, plays, you know, 28, 30 minutes a game, probably goes to the NBA because he's that athletic. And if he can maybe develop some skill around the basket a little bit more, you know, he would be someone that could go in the first round. So it is a different era. And I think there are going to be some big picture looks done inside of programs of how do you recruit? Are you going to recruit to develop? That's a risk right now, guys, because there's a good chance you're developing them for someone else, or they're not even going to develop at your school because they're not going to get the chance. Or do you go and recruit cheap end of roster players who are maybe local and will be willing to stick around and maybe not play a bunch, but practice, get to live the life that you can get being a power four high major college basketball player. So I think how schools recruit to fill out rosters is going to be really interesting, especially on the high school front, because times have changed and it's just very, very different right now.
Michael, can you think of many teams in the last 10 to 15 years that their plan was to build around a freshman point guard? Like, I'm trying to think of the teams. Like, we're talking like John Wall in Kentucky. We're talking about Trae Young at Oklahoma. Like, what you're telling me KU's plan is for next season, that is a very, very unique plan that not many teams do.
No, it's not. And you got to go, I think, as if you want to find precedent for freshmen doing things, right, I think you got to go to Cal Perry at Kentucky, right? De'Aaron Fox, that team, and obviously he had Malik Monk there with him. But it's been done before. But I think what you're going to see KU try and do is fill the roster with experienced players around De'Aaron who have been around the block. And when you do get into those bright light situations, it's not all on De'Aaron, especially early in something like Big 12 play. Before he maybe gets some of that crucial experience in some of those big road environments. And what KU's doing, obviously, you know, it's going to be a risk. You're giving the keys to a freshman. And regardless of what you think of said freshman and how good you think he is, I think he's a stud. Like, I think he will be a top two pick in the draft next year. But there's still some inherent risk. And I think what KU's going to try and do in the portal is to put experienced players around Peterson so that not everything falls on him, and he is not a single point of failure for the team where he can propel the team forward and be the guy that leads, but I think isn't going to have to face all that pressure of, oh man, if Darren's not on tonight, KU's kind of screwed. So the roster building for this year is so fascinating, especially considering the fact that it's a huge roster rebuild. You're losing, you know what, all five starters, top two bench guys. Like, it's going to be a brand new team, and this is Bill Self's chance to build the ideal roster around Darren Peterson. Will he be able to do it? that's the coverage we're trying to provide right now, and it's way too early to say. So that part's going to be interesting to track.
Michael, last thing here, and we appreciate your time. You obviously have tracked it much more than I have. I'm looking at Keyshawn Hall that played at UCF. I mean, that just feels like a KU player. If you want to put experience around Darren Peterson and a guy that can go get you a bucket, he seems like he makes a lot of sense for me. The big from Arizona, Visar, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, the big kid, that feels like for them. I mean, KU's now got some NIL money to spend. They're going to swing big in the portal, and they'll probably hit on a couple of these kids because they're Kansas.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the Keyshawn Hall fit. I know we've talked about it on our VIP message board. There are some concerns about, you know, you look at AJ Store and going to multiple teams. But look, Keyshawn Hall rebounds, and he is really good at getting to the rim and attacking. And generally, it is a pretty somewhat efficient player. You can look at the comparison to Jalen Wilson his senior year. The only real difference is that Jalen's assist rate is higher and Keyshawn's free throw rate is higher. So in terms of a profile, he fits that bill, and I think that's the type of guy you want to have at the four in this day in college basketball. The center spot's going to be fascinating. There are already some names that, you know, we're tracking here. A kid from Florida State that just went in today is probably going to be worth watching. But, yeah, it's going to be fascinating, right? There's so many minutes available, so many spots to fill, and I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg of the players that are going to go in. We still got 3 weeks. I think April 22nd, if I remember right, is when the portal closes. So long, long way to go. And as we've seen year in and year out, guys will go in the portal April 20th. So just because a guy's not in the portal or you don't think you like what it looks like today, man, tomorrow's a new day and next week's a new week. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen. So it's going to be really, really interesting to track.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. He is with 24/7 Sports. Always great to catch up with him and get the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks. Michael, man, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. Really happy to get his thoughts about the Kansas Jayhawks as they are trying to retool their team as they are going off to work in the portal. All right, coming up next, you know what? Every day in April at 3:45, we're going to talk about the NFL draft. Today, April starts. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, this has nothing to do with the original topic that we had planned here. I promise you we'll get to it. Do you fill out the Masters lottery? It just popped up on my social media feed, and I just clicked on it because I was curious, and I was reading people's stories about the Masters lottery, and people were talking about how they've tried for like 11 years, 15 years, and they've never won the lottery. They've never had the chance to buy face value Masters tickets. At what point would you just simply give up? Do you fill this out? I feel like everyone should at least try to get them, because if you hit, even if you don't go to the lottery, it still seems like it's a significant windfall for you if you simply get selected to go to any of the days. You don't even got to go to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. If you get the Wednesday practice round, I feel like you're really happy.
I apply every year for the lottery.
Have you ever won?
I've never won. My brother won 1 year.
Did you get to go with him?
No, he took his college roommate.
Oh, hold on here. Hold on.
Now, his college roommate, in his defense, is a greenskeeper, so it was like there's a golf connection, but yeah. And his buddy has family that won tickets.
This is the brother that I met. This was your best man at your wedding.
Yep, he's been to the Masters.
This is your guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is your flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
So you were telling me that he
won the Tuesday lottery. Yeah.
You applied for the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother also applied for the tickets, and your brother won. And his first call was not to baby bro. It was to his friend. That's a violation.
That's correct.
You got done wrong here.
I did get some gear out of it, but
I would hope so.
I did not get to go.
You're telling me that he knew that you wanted to go and then looked at you and said, ah, you know what? I'm going to pick this guy I'm not related to, but you know what? I'll get you a hoodie. No.
Yep. So I do apply. To answer your question, I apply every year.
I feel sorry for you because you wanted to go to that.
I'm going to win 1 year and go to it. That's going to happen. Cody's been. I think Cody won 1 year too.
How many years? How many tickets can you? Did your brother only get two?
He only get two. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if he got four. I wasn't sure how that worked.
He got two. And then like it all worked out because like his Buddy's family had actually also won the lottery, so it was like planets aligned for everyone but me.
that's what I think happened too. It worked out for everybody but you. You got done wrong in here. You were the odd man out on this story. I'm sorry this happened to you.
Yeah, it was. So I applied.
How many
every
years in a row have you applied for the
since
Masters
COVID
lottery?
Ever since the COVID lottery.
Oh, so you got five in a row then, and you just can't.
I didn't do the October 2020. I did so 4 years in a row.
And you just keep missing.
Just keep missing.
All right.
I would go whenever, too. I'd go to the practice round. I'd go to the.
Yeah, of course.
I'd go stand at the range.
Go any day. Yeah, you would go any day. Any day that they ask you to go. No, you would certainly do it. You know what? Why don't we save our draft conversation? We'll get to the draft in a bit. I apologize for being a little bit distracted in that. I saw this Masters lottery thing and I was reading it. And I'm reading these people's stories and they were like, well, how do you win? And the guy was like, we apply, then every year we get disappointed. It caught my attention. I've never signed up for the Masters lottery, so I was curious how this worked. How does it hit your ear when, as a college basketball fan, when Michael Swain comes on here and says that KU's plan is to build next year around a freshman point guard, how does that make you feel?
I mean, knowing the quality of the player, it's exciting because one of my major complaints, and it's not unique to me, one of KU fans' major complaints the last two seasons is the pieces don't fit. Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, they don't gel with AJ Storr, who doesn't gel with David. It was like a puzzle piece, but all of them were odd shapes and it never kind of came together. If nothing else, I like the fact the staff has said, okay, we have our alpha. What fits around our alpha? And there have been point guards in college basketball that are freshmen that when you build around them, good things happen. Now, they are extremely talented. They're John Wall. They are, you know, he mentioned De'Aaron Fox. They are that level of player, but everything you read about Darren Peterson is he's that level of player. So I like the notion that you found the one, build around the one.
This would be my question, though. If he's De'Aaron Fox, is that good enough? Because De'Aaron Fox was a great player. He was a very solid player at Kentucky and is going on to be a very good NBA player. Every school would want to recruit him. Is that enough for next year in a college basketball landscape that is changing and is much more junior, senior, much more experience-led? Are you winning the Big 12? Are you winning the national championship if your best player is De'Aaron Fox?
No, but is De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, averaged 17 a night at Kentucky. I forgot how good he was at Kentucky.
Really good.
But I guess
really quickly, though, we acknowledge there was a difference in Derrick Rose as a college freshman.
Different world.
There was a difference in John Wall. Now, if you're telling me that Darren Peterson is Derrick Rose for this upcoming season, then, yeah, you're perfectly fine. If he's De'Aaron Fox, which was a really good college player that then got on to be an even better NBA player, that seems really good for the Sacramento Kings. How good does that sound for Kansas next year if that's who they have?
The question is, can Kansas in the portal find Malik Monk? Because you're not winning a title with one dude, even no matter how special Darren Peterson is. And it's not just me and Michael Swain saying this. Like, go read any recruiting publication. They're saying big things about Darren Peterson.
You need guys.
You got to find a – I know he didn't come to Kansas, but, like, you find Donovan Dent, the kid who just went to UCLA from New Mexico. You go find the, hey, he's a guy that fits what Darren Peterson does and makes Kansas better. You got to go find – and for the De'Aaron Fox analogy, you got to go find – your Malik Monk. You got to go find your Aaron Harrison, a guy who can play off of this guy and is also a great player in his own right. I mean, Malik Monk's an NBA player. Like, he's not De'Aaron Fox, but he's an NBA player. If you have both at the same time, you feel good. You get one of them as a veteran from the portal. You get one as a freshman.
They really need Keyshawn Hall.
Yes.
What KU really needs Keyshawn to pair Hall. With Darren Peterson is they need a guy that can go score.
Yep.
And we've seen that Hall can go get you 30 if you need him to go get 30.
And they need a shooter. They're after that kid from Iowa, the Joshua Dix.
And they'll probably
him. Like that. They need a guy who can spread the floor, and they need a guy who can go get a bucket.
Yeah.
Those are the guys they're targeting.
Yeah, and if you get those two guys to go with a really talented point guard, you're right, that is the foundation. You probably need a little bit of size if you were them as well. You're not going to go 100% in the portal, but – I mean, KU's got some work. I mean, there is a clear checklist of what they're going to need to get back to being on top of the Big 12. They're going to have to hit big in the portal coming up over the next couple of weeks or so. Rob, the text line asks a good point. If you win the lottery, let's say that in 3 months, the lottery opens back up and you win and you get two tickets. Are you taking your brother to Augusta?
I am very happily taking my wife down to Georgia. And I will be telling
her. She don't even want to go.
Oh, she has no interest. There's not a person who would enjoy it less, but it doesn't matter. Game's the game.
That's crazy. I'm only laughing because I know your wife well enough to know she has no interest. The practice round, no interest. I know your brother did you wrong. I couldn't take somebody to something like that and they didn't share my level of excitement for what we were doing. I couldn't, like, this is your dream. Like, if I asked you right now, hey, I'll give you 2 tickets to the Super Bowl or 2 tickets to Sunday at Augusta, you would pick the Masters tickets over the Super Bowl tickets. This is probably your number one on your bucket list. My number one on my bucket list, I can't take somebody that's not excited about going. I couldn't do it.
I mean, the whole day is going to be just, you have to fly to Atlanta, then drive to Augusta. No part of it's going to be happy for her, but I'll be texting my brother at every step. Guess who's not here?
That's crazy. Coming up on the other side, you know what? I think we might have to light some candles. I think we might have to pour out a little bit of liquor for the best fans in baseball. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.